Come on, put your blessed hands together and receive the mighty man of God, Pastor Sterling Malonson. Hallelujah.
God is not through blessing you. So never, never, never give up. What he has promised, he's able to do. He's not through blessing you. And tell the person next to you, God is not through blessing you. So never, never give up. What he has promised, he's able to do. God is not through blessing you. Come on, say it again. Say, God is not through blessing me. What he has promised, he's able to perform. Now let's say where every devil, every witch can hear that's been trying to hold you back. God is not through blessing me. What he has promised, he's able to do. If you're sick, he promised to heal you. If you're depressed, he's promised to give you joy. If you don't know your way around, he has promised to give you vision. God is not through blessing you. Oh, God. Preach. I want to read from two different passages. Then I want to kind of just drill on them a little bit. I want to read from two different passages. Then drill on for a few minutes on him. Well, first, I want you to turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 10. Ephesians 6 and look down at verse 10. I want to read several of these verses, and then we're going to turn to the book of Romans. I know this is family and friend day, and I know traditionally we will go to the prodigal son and talk about the son came back home. But I think we got that good enough. God wants to give us something else to take us to be able to be a blessing to us at this hour. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, say above all. Say it again, above all. You say above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now go to Romans chapter 4 and look at verse 17. Romans chapter 4 and look at verse 17. And we find these words. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened it the dead, and call it those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now you may be seated. I want to talk from this topic for a few minutes. I want to talk from this topic, faith to win. Faith to win. Now, this message that I'm going to share this morning, it is really for those who want better in life. It is for those who have dreams and those of you in here who have visions, those who need healing and breakthrough and deliverance, and those who wants to win in life, and those who wants to develop and to be all that God called you to be, to grow spiritually. That's what this message is for. Not for those who just want to stand on the sideline and just be a spectator, but this is really for those who are in the game to win. So we are talking about it's going to take faith to win. Now, we read from the scripture Ephesians, the Bible is telling us that really life is a fight. The Bible classified that it is a warfare. He tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't be weak. Don't be no wimp, but be strong in him. And he said, because we have to understand that we are in a battle. We are in a fight. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. He wants you to understand the fight that you're in is really not a physical fight. Really, you're dealing with a demonic force that is greater than any flesh and blood. Now, you have to understand, no matter who the devil manifests himself through, he may manifest himself through a coworker, he may manifest himself through a family member, he may manifest himself through an enemy, he may even manifest himself through a church member. But no matter who he manifests himself through, you got to understand the person is really not your enemy. It's the foes that's working through them. And so for you to fight this fight and to win this fight, you're not going to be able to use carnal weapons and expect to win. This is why we stress ourselves out. This is why we burden ourselves down. This is why we go into depression, because we're trying to fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. So we get on the phone, we use gossip, and we use yakety-yak, and we talk about who don't like me and who is talking bad about me and who is trying to stop me to fail, trying to cause me to fail. But you got to understand, when God speaks a blessing on you, ain't no devil in hell can curse you. And so you must understand that when God speaks, when God anoints, when God bless, and no one can hinder your blessing, or you're hearing what I'm saying. And so he tells us, he says, understand that we have a battle that we're in. This battle that we're in, it is not natural, it is not physical, but it is spiritual. And then he goes and tells us the talk of putting the whole armor on. He said, listen, you got to suit up. You got to prepare yourself. You got to get yourself equipped, because you're on a battlefield. And that's why I thank God for a man of God like you have, Pastor Hodge. I know he stands up here Sunday after Sunday, but he's teaching you how to suit up and how to prepare yourself and how to equip yourself, that when you go out and leave this place, you can do warfare. See, he don't have time to hold you by the hand. When the devil jump on you in the middle of the night, your house, you can't get on the phone and call your pastor. You got to be able to know how to fight for yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he's saying you better suit up. You got to get yourself equipped. So every time you come to church, your pastor is suiting you up. He's equipping you. He's preparing you so you can wage your good warfare. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so he said, you got to get yourself together. You got to suit up. You got to prepare yourself. You got to get ready, because the fight is not, it's greater than what you think. So if you don't suit yourself up, you don't prepare yourself, you don't equip yourself, you'll be in a blessed place, but yet you'll be depressed, yet you'll be broken, yet you'll be down, yet you'll be wounded, but yet you're in a blessed place because you're not preparing yourself and equipping yourself and suiting up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. God wants you to get to the point that you be so equipped, so prepared, that every morning you wake up, soon as your feet hit the floor, the devil say, oh, what they gonna do today? Who they gonna help today? Who they gonna set free today? Who they gonna bless today? The devil ought to be intimidated when you get up. Are you hearing what I'm saying in this place? Hallelujah. Oh God. And so then he tells us, he said, listen, he said, but not only suit up, he said, but all of the weapons and the armor that you put on, he said, but most important than them all. In other words, he said, listen, more important than any other armor, he said, make sure you have the shield of faith. Let me tell you something. You can praise, but your praise will not touch the heavens if you don't praise in faith. You can pray, but if your prayer is not in faith, it will not reach the heavens. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you. If you can believe it, if you can believe it and have it in your spirit, it's possible for you. I don't care what the naysayers say. I don't care what the heart is against you. You got to understand, faith makes the impossible possible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In this place. Hallelujah. Do we have some dreamers in the house? Do we have some visionaries in the house? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your dream is possible. I know it's bigger than you. I know it tries to intimidate you. But if you can believe, it's possible for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, God. My sister would just lead that song earlier. And she was talking about the supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. What is impossible with men is possible with God. Are you hearing me? So, he said, so more important than them all, he said, put on the shield of faith. Now I want to say to you, it takes faith to live a successful Christian life. It takes faith to win. What is faith? Faith is a principle. It is a power. It is a force that God has made available to you where you can change, hear me good, your circumstances, your situations in life. I say it again. What is faith? Faith is a principle. It is a power. It is a force that God has made available to you that you can change your circumstances. You can change your situation in life. You ain't got to grumble and complain that nobody want to give you a break. Your faith will make a break for you. You ain't got to grumble and complain that nobody won't give you an opportunity. Your faith will open the door for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't have to sit around and be depressed. You don't have to sit around and let the devil wreck your house. You don't have to sit around and let the devil kill your children. You can change that situation by knowing how to function and operate in faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying in this place? Too many weak believers in the body. We keep carrying them. That come a point you got to be able to carry yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Grow up. Say grow up. Say grow up. It's time to grow up. God can do greater. God want to take you further. He want to do more. But a lack of your faith is hindering and holding him up. Or something getting ready to shift. Something getting ready to shift. Yeah. Something getting ready to turn around. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's why you got to get your faith together. And you got to get development strong. And prepare yourself. So you can wage a good warfare. Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. You got to be able to engage in warfare. You got to be able to do battle. Now remember that we fight the skillful enemy. He is no dummy. That's why you got to be skillful too. See, life will hit you with stuff sometimes that you don't see coming. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you love Jesus. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how much you're in the Word. There are times life got a way of hitting you and knocking you down. It hits you with stuff that you just don't see coming. But it's your faith is the thing that's going to make you get back up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember years ago, this guy named Larry Holmes. Some of you used to watch boxing. Larry Holmes was fighting a guy named Ronaldo Snipes. I mean, Larry Holmes was beating him. Larry Holmes was putting it on him. And round of seven rounds, Ronaldo Snipes hit Larry Holmes with a right hand. Larry Holmes hit the floor. Boom. And while Larry Holmes was on the floor, Ronaldo Snipes over here shouting with his hands up. But when he looked around, Larry Holmes was getting back up. Wobbling, but getting back up. He held on that round. The next round, Larry Holmes came back. Boom, boom, boom. Eventually, he stopped Ronaldo Snipes in the 11th round. Well, some of you came here this morning. The devil knocked you down. And the devil is celebrating, thank you over. But he better look around. You getting back up now. You getting back up in faith. And I'm getting my dream back. I'm getting my vision back. I'm getting my family back. I'm getting my finances back. I'm getting my health back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes.
us. We're going to wage a good warfare by fighting with your faith. So he says, so I gotta know how to function in faith. This power, this force that God has made available to you, that you can change your circumstances, you can change your situation in life, you can shift some things. Now let me say this about faith. Faith, I want you to hear this good. It's not magical. Faith knows no limitations. Faith has no boundaries. It will work for whoever will work it. Say it will work for whoever will work it. Yeah, you ain't got to go to Chicago and get somebody lay hands on to get your healing. It'll work in your living room. You heard what I said. You were sitting around here waiting for somebody to come lay hands on you. You can lay hands on yourself in faith. It'll work for whoever will work it. It knows no boundaries. It knows no limitation. It don't get to a certain group and stop right there. It'll work for whoever will work it. The Bible talks about this woman by the name of Rahab. If you know the story, she was a harlot. In our time, known as a prostitute. And the Bible says that she hid the spies. And then God had her go down in history. A prostitute, a harlot, goes down in the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11. Only her and Sarah's the only two female mentioned in the hall of fame of faith. And then God had this prostitute to become King David's great-great-grandmother. See, you gotta understand, faith will show up in some of the strangest places. It'll work for whoever work it. You can be on welfare. You can use your faith. You can go to the top. You can be at a sixth grade education. You can use your faith. It'll open doors for you. It'll work for whoever will work it. It knows no boundaries. It has no limitation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you ain't got to get jealous of somebody else's blessing. Just work your faith, and it'll work for you too. You hear what I'm saying? You can't take my vision. You can't take my dreams. You can't stop me. Long as you know how to work and operate in faith. It'll work if you're working. Tell the person next to you, it will work if you're working. Tell them again, it will work if you're working. Hallelujah. Oh, God. It'll work if you're working. It'll work if you're working. Work your faith. Use your faith. So. Now hear me. The Bible says that God has given every man a portion of faith. All of us have a portion. But now it's our responsibility to develop it, to increase it. You have to understand, just as the muscles in your own, you develop the muscles in your own by using weight. Well, you develop your faith the same way. See, I'm saying, just as your muscle grows from pressure, your faith grows under pressure. So what God does, God allows some stuff to come up against you. Not that he is trying to hurt you or harm you. Yeah, you praying, God, remove it. Because I'm not going to remove it. That's weight for you. That if you use your faith, you overcome it. You're going to build your faith up. So you look at the study of the life of David. The Bible said that David told Saul, Saul, I can take Goliath down. Saul said, you can't, man. He's an expert. David said, let me kind of tell you a little bit about my resume. He said, first, God allowed a lion to come up against me. And I took that lion and I killed him. God said, you got lion's faith. Then God allowed a bear to come up against me. And David said, I took that bear and I smote and killed him. He said, guess what? Now God said, David, you got bear faith and you got lion's faith. Now this big Philistine, Goliath, talking a lot of trash. And David said, well, let me tell you something, Saul. The same God that delivered the lion and the bear in my hand is going to put this big giant in my hand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if David would have quit with the bear, he would have never had lions or giant faith. See, some of you right now, you deal with a small little problem. And the thing is, God said, quit complaining, quit grumbling, start using your faith to overcome it. Because I got a greater place for you. I have a higher level for you. But I can't bring you that if you cannot handle the weight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody want to be blessed. Everybody want to be successful. But everybody can't handle the weight. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus said, you're going to always have the poor with you. But I say to you, you're going to always have the haters with you. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. Everybody going to celebrate with your blessing. Everybody going to celebrate with your breakthrough. But don't let the haters stop you. You just keep pressing, because they're going to always be with you. Every time God brings you up, every new level are new devils. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is why you need a preacher like you have, a word preacher. You don't just want to get up and entertain you, to make you feel good, try to impress you. No, you need someone who's going to preach the word to you. Because faith comes by hearing. And that certain time when you preach the word, it's going to offend you. It's supposed to. If you're doing something that ain't right and the man of God get up and preach it, it's supposed to offend you. And they're going to keep offending you until you get it together. You heard what I say? Yeah. He ain't got to keep preaching the same. Every time get up, God, give me a new word, Doc. Give me a new word, Doc. You don't need a new word. You got to do the old word first. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This ain't no club. This is the body of Christ. This is a living organism. It's functioning. It moves. We going somewhere. So faith come by hearing. And hearing the word of the Lord. That's how your faith going to grow. You need to hear the word. And you cannot read the Bible like you're reading some newspaper. You can't read like you're reading a novel or some magazine. You can't read like you're reading Jet. That's the word of the Lord. That's God's breath. That's God's word. Jesus said his word is life. So faith, it comes by hearing the word. And now you need to hear the word. That's why you ought to come to Bible study. You heard what I said. But I ain't coming to Saints play on Monday night. You get in trouble. See, the Saints gonna come rescue you. I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints now, y'all. I'm not talking about the Saints of Saints. I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints. But let me tell you something. Trouble got a way of slowing you down. You think you're so busy, you ain't got time for Bible study, I ain't got time. Trouble hit you and put the brakes on you. You not. I started to say, yeah, you don't come to work, you don't come to Bible study. But when you get in trouble, now you won't come and hold the whole service up. I started to say, but I ain't gonna say it. We got to close, baby. It's time to get out here now. You should have came to Bible study last night. The word went forward to help you with that situation. It's time to get out here now. Hey! That's what we need. We need sound doctrine. We need the word. Somebody entertain you. Let me see if I can work. Let me talk a few minutes, then I'm going to get ready to close. Let me talk a few more minutes. I want to talk now about Abraham. Now, the Bible says that God came to Abraham and he told Abraham, he said, now, Abraham, now look. He said, now, I'm going to make your father many nations. Abraham had no son. Sarah had no children. And he said, now, but I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And then he tells him, he's now, listen, he's now, through you, all families of the earth are going to be blessed. And then after he gives him the promise, at 75 years old, but then he put him in a holding pattern. You ever had God to put you on hold? After he come and talk to you for a minute and tell you all he going to do for you and all he going to do in you, and you get all excited, and then he put you on hold. He tells him he's going to bless him. I'm going to bless those who bless you. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And then he put him on hold. Bible says that Abraham, he waited 25 years. Have you ever had a dream, a vision that you went after? And you were so excited. And you went after it. And you're still waiting. I got some visionaries in here. Got some dreamers in here. But he still had to wait 25 years. Now see, when you get to that waiting period, that's why hell releases his best troops. Because hell trying to get you to disbelieve God now. And try to get you to distrust God. And I say, now I told you that all that stuff that preacher been preaching, ain't nothing that worked, none of that stuff worked. But you don't understand, you're in the holding pattern right now. Yeah, you're delayed, but you're not denied. But you're in the holding pattern. But when you don't understand process, when you don't understand that there are times God will speak to you and show you your end and show you how he's going to increase you and prosper you and restore you and revive you, but then he puts you in that holding pattern. But when you don't understand that God brings you through process, the process is not to hurt you or to harm you. That's a part of God's training, that God used that to develop you and to build you, because where he is bringing you, you're going to have to be able to handle the weight. The Bible said these light afflictions that we are going through are just for a moment, but it's going to lead to a great of weight of glory. Glory is weight, and you got to be strong to be able to carry the weight. So what God does is that he'll speak promises to you. He'll give you dreams and vision, and then he put you in a holding pattern, and he hold you up for a minute. But in the midst of that holding pattern, God be working on things, and God be working on you. He be bringing you through a process. You got to understand, God never bring you straight up. God bring you through zigzags. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He'll do what like he did Joseph. He gave Joseph a dream, and he told Joseph how he was going to raise him up and how he was going to promote him. Then he took Joseph and put him down in the pit and had him to stay in the pit a while. And now I'm going to get your faith built up while you're in the pit. He came out of the pit, and then he ends up in the prison. Now while he's in prison, God is working on him in prison. God is strengthening him in prison. Then he takes him from the prison to the palace. You got to understand that God processes you. When God gives you dreams and vision, and then you expect to get straight to the palace, and when you end up in the pit, you say, I know what's going on here. God is working on me right now. God is working on me right now. But I'm going to get to the palace. Don't you worry, devil. Devil, you might think you're going to depress me down in the pit. I'm not going to get depressed in the pit. He's still my God. He's still my provider. He's still my deliverer. He's still my way maker. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to bless him in the pit. Then he bring you into the prison. I give you glory for being in the prison. You're still God, but he'll bring you to the palace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Abraham has to wait 25 years. I want you to understand, the road to success is never straight. It's full of bends twists and turns. The Jericho Road. Jesus gives a parable. But a man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among thieves. They beat him. They whipped him. They robbed him. They left him side of the road half dead. And the story was the priest came by. The Levite came by. Didn't help him. Then the Samaritan came and helped him. But the point I want to make is this. From Jerusalem to Jericho is only 17 miles. But the road that goes from Jerusalem to Jericho is 29 miles. And the reason why it's 29 miles, even though from Jerusalem to Jericho is only 17 miles, the reason why it's 29 miles of road, because Jericho is a winding road. It's full of twists and turns and bends. You can't just go straight from Jerusalem to Jericho. You got to go through twisting and winding and bending. Well, that's where the road to success is. You got to understand that the road to success is never a straight line. It's always full of twisting and turns and bending. But if you continue to stay on the road, you'll get to your destiny. But what happens a lot of times is that we don't build up our endurance and we don't strengthen ourselves, that when we get in a holding pattern, we give up on the dream. We give up on the vision. We think God has forgotten about us. God hadn't forgotten about you. Somebody in this place this morning, you are in the holding pattern. God spoke something to you. God revealed some things to you. And God said, I want you to understand, I have not forgotten about you. Don't you give up on your dreams. Don't you give up on your vision. This ain't for everybody. This is for some folk here who are visionary and dreamers here. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't give up on your vision. If your body is sick, you've been praying for healing, don't give up on your healing. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer. He will sustain you. He will deliver you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. So he waits 24 years. Now, looking from the natural, they look too old. They have any children. Abraham 99 plus. Sarah 90 plus. Because they had to wait 25 years, you see. And he waited. But in the natural, look like they missed their moment. Look like they missed their time. Look like they missed their season. Now, some of you right now, the devil told you you're too old now. You miss your time. You miss your moment. It didn't happen. Some of us, we did miss our moment. And we miss our time, too. You ain't ever been talking about going to buy a new house at 85. Oh, what a 30-year note. Well, listen. But listen, now listen, I'm pressing into my clothes. Now listen. Everybody in here wish, and I know I'm in that boat too, I wish I could go back in time. The things I know now, if I'd have knew then, oh, I'd be great right now. And you wish. Am I right about it? I'm preaching. Yeah. You wish you could go back in time. Because some mistakes that you made, you wish you could go back and undo it. Some of the things that you were involved in, you wish you could make it right. Some of you right now, you're struggling with your finances. Really, if you look back over the past, you ought to be, all your debts ought to be paid off. But when you were young, you were living large. You had to dress well. And you had to drink the best of best. Heineken was one of the best, I think, this year. Now listen. Think about it. Some of the money you waste on clothes. Right? Some of y'all don't want to say, yeah. I know you waste money on clothes. If I want to be messy, I tell you, you bought the dress or the suit and you wore it twice and you went back a year later, either you increased or the dress shrunk. Something happened. Now you can't wear it. But you don't pay $295 for it. Just hanging in the closet saying, look at me. Am I beautiful? Hey, 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 you wish you can go back. Now listen, but hear my point. Hear my point, I'm closing. Hear my point. I'm getting ready to close. Hear my point. Now, but Abraham, 99 plus, Sarah, 90 plus, in the natural, it's like they missed a moment, that the time had passed. Just as we look back, we wish we can go back in our lives and make some things right and straighten some things out and undo some things. But we cannot go back in time because yesterday is buried in the tomb of time and nothing I can do about it. All I can do is get my eyes on God. Not the God that we serve. He is not bound by time, but he is a God of eternity. And out of eternity, he sets time out so we can have a human experience. But God, he in him, there is no ending and no beginning. He is everlasting to everlasting. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. So with God, is one big now. There's no past in God. There's no future in God. It's one big now. When God sees you, you're already healed. You're already well. You're already prosperous. See, so I want you to understand, I know you can't go back in your life. You mess up some things and you miss some things. But since you're living by faith now, since you're committed to me, I'm not bound by time. I can go back in your life. And I can take those things that you lost. I can undo those things. I can make those things right. I can go back and restore the yields that the locusts and the cankerworms and the caterpillars and the palmer worm have eaten up. I can restore those yields back to you. I can bring you back to the place where you used to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody in this place here, you getting ready to live by faith. You getting ready to have a conviction and a trust and a confidence in God. You getting ready to be fully persuaded what he has promised, he's able to perform. And God is getting ready to send restoration in your life. Revival, restore things back to you. And you ought to tell the devil, devil, you thought I was finished. Devil, you thought it was over. Oh no, devil, there's not the end of the story. God is rearranging things. God is shifting things. God is turning things. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right. Now, one more point, then I'm going to close. One more point, I'm going to close. Now, let me say this to you. Now, we live by faith. Say, I live by faith. Say, faith is confidence. It's a trust. It's a conviction that what God promised, God will perform. All right. Now, it's a power. It's a force that God has made available to you. You can change your own circumstance, your situation. You can do it. You hear me? You got to get on the phone and call somebody. You can do it. They ain't had time for me. You make time for yourself. You can do it. Say, faith will work for who? Wherever working. Say, I'm going to work my faith. Now, let me close. Now, this is how you function in faith. You function in faith. And it's how you operate. And this is how you get faith to move in your life. You get your faith to function by the words of your mouth. You release your faith by the words of your mouth. Jesus says, you walk up to this mountain. You speak to this mountain. And you tell this mountain, you move. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say, you shall have whatsoever you say. The mountain will not move until you start talking to it. You can't stick. I don't care how much you cry. I don't care how much you complain. I don't care how much you pray. It's not going to move until you talk to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God put Ezekiel down in the midst of the valley of dry bones. Valley full of dry bones. Day, no light. And then God put Ezekiel right in the midst of the bone, and God tells him, now I want you to go and release your faith. How I release your faith? Ezekiel, stop preaching to those bones. Oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the words of the Lord. The Bible said the bones started coming together. There was a rattle in the valley, and the bones got together, and flesh came on the bones. And then the Bible said that the flesh came on the bone. Then God tell Ezekiel, now stop preaching to the wind. In other words, release the words out of your mouth. Talk to the wind. And he preached to the wind, and life came into those dead bones. What I'm saying to you, that's how you release your faith. You release your faith. Start talking to your circumstances. Start talking to your situation. Talk to your body if your body is sick. Talk to your children if the devil is harassing them. Devil, you're not going to have my child. No, devil, I'm not going to lose my son. Enough is enough, devil. You got to talk back to it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know we know the story of Jericho, when the children of Israel march around the walls of Jericho. They march around 6 days, one time each day. On the seventh day, they march around seven times. They blow the trumpet. Nothing still happened. But when they opened their mouth and shouted and started praising God, the walls came tumbling down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, devil, we're coming out in the name of Jesus. We are going to get our breakthrough. You're going to get your deliverance. You're going to get your healing, because you're going to release your faith by the words of your mouth. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do we have some worshipers in this place? Do we have some praisers in this place? We bless your name. We honor you, God. We worship you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. You fight with your faith. You win by fighting with your faith. Quit crying. Quit grumbling. Quit complaining. Who won't help you? Who won't give you a break? It'll work if you work it. Work your own faith. You heard what I say. Give the Lord a great hand clap. Hey! 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 Oh, glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Magnify your God. Let me worship for a minute. Let me worship for a minute. This is personal now. This ain't got nothing to do with you. This ain't got nothing to do with you. This is personal. And if you're a worshiper, you're a type of person. This ain't got nothing to do with you. This is personal. If you're a worshiper. But I'm going to worship for a minute. And if you're a worshiper, because worship is not for your neighbor. This is for God. Now we're going to worship. I'm going to worship a minute. Come on. Give me some. We're going to worship a minute. And I'm going to worship. Yeah, I'm not just a preacher, I am a worshiper. I know how to praise. Because praise and my worship will shift my atmosphere. You heard what I said. Yeah, that you got to know how to praise. And you got to know how to worship him. But I do it by using my faith. And I'm saying to you, let's worship a minute. God, we give you glory. And we give you honor. We give you praise. We bless your name. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha. Thank you for being our healer. Thank you for being El Shaddai. Thank you for being the Most High God. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you, God. We love you. We appreciate you. We honor you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, let's worship him a minute. Yeah. Let's worship him a minute.
My worship.
Oh God.
My praise.
Thank you. That's what your praise and worship will do for you.
Your breakthrough in healing, cause your worship is shifting the air.